What is up, guys? Welcome to the WPC Plus. I'm Pierre Camus. With me, as always, Nicholas Gott. Nick, interesting times here. Opening day, but not opening day, and there's no baseball. Trying to hold it together.
Sad opening day.
Trying to hold it together.
day by day.
It's tough. It's a grind, I'm not going to lie, but you know, this helps, right? This helps alleviate some of the angst talking about baseball season that should be and will be at some point, right? We will have baseball. Please tell me we will have baseball this year.
We're going to have it, please. I refuse to give up hope.
Thank you. Okay. But when baseball comes, you're going to have to draft a fantasy team. And when you draft a fantasy team, you want good players, not bad players. Now, you already know, because you've seen all our rankings and watched all our videos, that we have talked about sleepers, deep draft sleepers, must-haves, more must-haves. Check out that video, more must-haves with Eric Samulski. And we've also talked about players to avoid. We haven't quite dove into rookies yet, though. And a lot of times you want to kind of get that rookie that you think is going to break out. But everybody thinks that rookie is going to break out, right? We're going to talk about guys that you can target at a reasonable price later in the draft that could be breakout players and might have an impact in redraft leagues. You don't want to have next year's breakout player, right? You want the guy that's going to make an impact without overpaying like everybody overpaid for Vlad last year. All right, so let's get into it. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, now, everything that we say, I think, from this point until the season actually starts does have an asterisk because we don't know, and projections and call-ups, like, you know, we always have ETAs. You know, when do we think this guy's going to get called up? March, April? You can pretty much throw March and April out the window. So this does affect things. So before we get to our first player, Nick, how does this delay, however long it is, affect the way we value rookies? Because obviously Super 2 deadlines and, you know, playing time considerations, it's all different now, isn't it?
Yeah, it makes it really tough. It's downgraded a number of rookies in my eyes. Like I don't know how exactly to handle it because – for one, we don't know when baseball is going to start, obviously. You don't know how all the deadlines is going to work. And I just, all those that, you know, I think the premium elite hitting talents are going to come up as soon as they can, whenever, whatever the new service time shenanigans are. I think they're still getting called up. But those next guys, the guys you're not exactly sure of that you don't think you're getting called up. You going into the season, you didn't think they were getting called up right after Super 2, but you saw them more as, you know, June, July type guys. Like, they'll get there eventually. That is up in the air, and I'm avoiding guys like that. Like, we're not going to talk about him in this, but Alec Bohm from Philadelphia, for example. Going into the season, I really liked him as a late-round flyer because I thought that, you know, maybe not right after Super 2, but probably shortly after, I thought he would get maybe called up, depending on how that Philly lineup was. But now, I don't know. I'm more confident in stud minor league pitchers getting called up because I don't think the kind of philosophy on calling up young pitching has changed, even with the shortened season. Once you prove that you can, once teams think you can do it at a major league level with pitching, they're usually going to call you up because they want to get whatever they can out of you because, you know, that the possible injury clock is always ticking in the background. But with hitters, they're a downgrade in my eyes just because I don't know. And especially if you're doing a draft right now, I'm avoiding most youth except for, like, we're going to talk about a couple of pitchers I like and, you know, a hitter or two. But, and I don't, there's a lot of, you know, there's uncertainty with everything in baseball right now, but with what is going to happen with minor leaguers, with what they have to renegotiate and figure out on deadlines before they can really even do anything. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to figure it out right now. So I'm just going to wait.
And, you know, that's okay. You're allowed to not know because nobody knows anything at this point, right? We really don't know. But that's why I want to talk about this topic because probably the biggest uncertainty is that exactly what's going to happen with the rookies, these minor leagues, these prospects. You know, those windows, you know, for getting called up, you can throw all that out the window basically at this point. Yeah, and we talked before the show about a guy like, you know, Alex Kirilloff for the Twins. Pretty good prospect, you know, not, I wouldn't say not a can't miss prospect, not a guy who's, you know, going to be number one in the rankings, but could definitely have an impact. Thought maybe he'd be like a midsummer call up, you know, get a chance to break camp early. But at this point, no, because I mean, the Twins aren't a team that, you know, is in need of an impact bat, especially in the outfield. So I have a feeling that his, you know, for example, in Boehm, like you mentioned, some guys that gets pushed back a little bit. And it's funny because, you know, I'm a subscriber to the 10 step philosophy, right? We know there is no such thing as a pitching prospect. But it's interesting that usually with rookies, hitters are kind of like the safe side and the pitchers is, you know, you're rolling the dice at any point. But yeah, we're going to talk more pitchers than hitters at this point because things have changed. So let's get into our first guy. And well, we're starting with the hitter. And this guy that I took a chance on in TGFBI late because that's a pretty deep league. Carter Kaboom for Washington. Now, we also did talk about position battles that are on hold in spring training, right, for that third base job is going to be him and Cabrera. So obviously you think he might get the better end of this or at least eventually work his way into the infield at some point.
Yeah, I do. You know, I think we've talked about this before and on like you said, the playing time battles that got interrupted by all of this. And I mean, maybe you say the edge goes to the veteran, but I don't know. I like Kaboom is a classic post-hype sleeper. He was thought very highly of last year. A lot of people had him penciled in as going to win the second base job for the Nationals. I know a lot of money got spent in Fab on him in TGFBI and other leagues. And he came up and just with a thud. You know, 43 plate appearances, a 128 batting average. Like, can't really get much out of that. But he crushed in AAA again, 16 home runs, 79 runs scored, 79 RBI, 5 stolen bases, a .303 batting average, and 494 plate appearances. Dude can hit. He has crazy fast hands, 55 hit tool, does a little bit of everything. I think he's going to win the job. And, you know, we talked about, you know, we were talking about earlier, like, I'm going to shy away from prospects that might be called up this year. Like, I think he's going to make the team. I think he's going to win the starting job. So he's a rookie, but he's got a lot more. There's a lot more certainty with Kaboom than maybe someone with a higher ceiling, but who might sit in the minors all year long.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. The ceiling, that's the only thing really with Kaboom. We know he's got the hit tool. We know he's got the goods. Right, he's a top prospect. Not a guy, you know, is probably going to hit 30 home runs necessarily. He's not going to steal 50 bases. He's not, you know, replaceable with Trey Turner in that sense. You know, when he got called up last year, people were hoping, you know, he just kind of fell right in. He didn't. But yeah, he's not that type of player, right? I was actually really sad last year. I was so proud of myself. I stashed him in an NL-only league. And so when Turner got hurt and he came in, I was like, wow, that is so great. And it wasn't great. He like 182 or something. But I'm not giving up on him. So anyways, definitely someone to watch out for. Not a guarantee, right? The playing time's not a guarantee for any of these guys. But yeah, this is a guy that, like you said, post-hype sleeper. Those are the kind of guys to watch out for. And I know we did talk about this next guy too. We won't go too much into it. You guys just really should go watch our other videos. But we talked about with must-haves. So Jesús Luzardo is being treated now like a top 100 player, even though he's still a prospect and has barely pitched. The last year, Puck is kind of that post-hype guy too, because at one point he was the top prospect and, you know, for the A's, and he's got the pedigree, but he's being drafted like 100 spots later. But if you've heard, right, both him and Luzardo, supposedly not having restrictions this year with a short season, definitely shouldn't have as many restrictions. And the latest I heard is that he's going to have a chance to win a rotation spot, assuming that we ever have spring training again. So Puck is a guy, and I know you mentioned also when we talked about him earlier, you don't even care if he's in the rotation. You think even if he's coming out of the bullpen, you still want him because of the K rate and the chance to make an impact, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I really like the high leverage relievers. to, you know, form some foundation of my pitching as I can get late. I want Puck to be a starter. Some people have questioned whether or not he has a starter's repertoire, but I think those questions tend to come from outside the organization. Everything the A's, from what I have seen, have said has always been he's going to get every chance to be a starter. He is very big, very left-handed, and has premium velo. And, you know, right now it's, you know, you look at roster resource, and last time I looked, I think they had Lizardo is 4, Puck is 5 with, you know, Chris Bassett on the outside looking in. And knowing the A's, like, they'll probably shove, they'll have like a 7-man rotation or something ridiculous. But even if Puck doesn't get a rotation spot, which obviously I would prefer, especially in this shortened season with, you know, supposed innings limits taken off, yeah, I'd rather have him be a starter. But if he ends up getting bumped to a bullpen role, I don't think he's just going to be a, you know, mop up duty guy, or, you know, part of an inning here, part of an inning there. I think he's going to be leveraged as a, you know, a couple inning guy. That's always going to go 1-2 innings and have a premium strikeout rate. So if that's what I get from him, that's fine at his draft price. You know, I'd rather have that than Lizardo, who I love as a pitcher long term, but that draft price has just gotten out of control. And I'm not going to pay that price for someone who hasn't pitched in the majors yet.
Exactly. You know, injury history and pretty much same situation there. Nothing against Lizardo. I mean, he might up wind up being
he's great.
The kind of guy that delivers the return on the investment, but that's a big if, you know what I mean? So the thing with Puck,
a lot of risk the first year.
Yeah. Well, we talk about the whole point of this is who are you going to target that can make an impact this year? And obviously the fact they're considering it from the rotation means Puck's going to have a role either way, right? He's going to be on the squad. Mm-hmm. He could have an impact no matter what role is. So another pitcher now, guy you like in Philadelphia, Spencer Howard. Do you think that, because Philadelphia, obviously a team that is all in to win this year, right? Team that wants to go for mm-hmm. it. So do you feel like Girardi's going to give him a chance? What do you think his role is going to be? Is he going to have a chance to make the rotation?
I definitely think so. You know, anyone that's followed me here, pitcher list, knows I really, really like Spencer Howard. I've liked him for a couple years now. And you look at Philadelphia's rotation, and it is Aaron Nola, and it is Zach Wheeler, and probably washed up Jake Arrieta, and Zach Eflin, and the human gas can, Vincent Velasquez. I guess those guys could hold off Howard. I don't think they're going to. Philadelphia is in it to win it, like you said. And when you have that back end of your rotation, I think it's kind of hard to, you know, keep being in it to win it if you're not going to make a trade, if you're going to keep trotting out Eflin, Arrieta, and Velasquez after Nolan Wheeler.
Yeah, not a lot of faith in Vincy V, huh?
No. But he just lights the mound on fire. I love it. Like he'll have a couple good outings and everyone will get all fired up. Here comes Vinny V back again. And then you know he is going to give up 8 runs in an inning and 2/3 next time out. It's perfect every time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we can give up on him at this point. But he's a guy, you know, both Velasquez and Eflin, you know, they've been in the bullpen before. I think those are guys that might easily get moved to that kind of a, you know, long relief. They probably should be moved to more of a relief effort. Yeah. So, I mean, Velasquez, if anything, maybe not the 9th inning. You don't want him in the late innings, but he's a guy who definitely would be more effective with shorter innings. Less on the mound. That would be good for him.
Less time on the mound.
Yeah. Less is good. All right. Move on to a guy who I do want to see on the mound more. That's Dustin May. Now, the good news is because had the season started today, which it didn't, just got sad again. But had the season started, we weren't sure if he was going to be ready. Dustin May was having some injury issues. But last I read on rotoballer.com, which is where I get all my major league news from, is that he seems good to go. So I don't know, because the Dodgers have like 10 guys that could be in the rotation. I don't know that he's going to be a starter. I don't think he will, but I feel kind of like he's Puck-esque in the sense that even if he's a reliever, I mean, he's got the gas. He's a guy who could make an impact. And I feel like they'll kind of give him some stops here and there because he's got the stuff. So I feel good about the fact that he should be on the roster to start the season. And I mean, he's definitely got the talent, you know, with guys like David Price and Alex Wood in the rotation. I mean, it's probably not too long before he fills one of those spots, right?
Oh yeah, guaranteed. I mean, you know, Alex Wood's going to get hurt. Like, book it. I mean, in a shortened season where, you know, I'm worried about just pitcher injuries in general already, but Wood, oh yeah, he's getting hurt. So yeah, you know, that is the concern with May, is that it's the Dodgers and you never really know if someone actually has a rotation spot or they kind of have a rotation spot. But he's going to make the roster. He's going to get his innings. He has really good stuff. He has a beautiful red berm that I just want more and more of. So yeah, I like May. He doesn't have a crazy high ceiling, in my opinion, over the long term, but especially this year, I mean, his draft price is nothing. He's going to get his innings. He'll, whether relief or starting, like you said, there's going to be injuries on that Dodger staff, or he might just be good enough to, you know, earn the starts. He's shown the good stuff before. So yeah, I like May too.
And before we move on to the next guy, a quick question. A lot of people like Gonsolin, and he's kind of creeping up the board. I think he's perceived as less likely to ever hit the rotation. But how do you feel between the two? Do you like May or Gonsolin better this year?
May. I think a lot of things would have to happen for Gonsolin to get a regular amount of starts, like consistent. I don't think, you know, if just in a vacuum, like May versus Gonsolin, I don't think May's going to lose out a starting job to him. But I do like him. Like you said, he's kind of been gaining some steam, but I think those good innings are going to mostly come out of relief.
Right. So, the guy, you know, if you follow JB's bullpen method, you're going to stock up on, you know, high upside relievers, a guy who can slot at relief and maybe he'll get you some starts or at least help your ratios and your K rate and stuff like that. You know, you're not looking for necessarily a rotation arm, you know, got to target if you're looking for rookies, if you're into that kind of thing, which obviously you are, is why you're watching this. Another rookie you might be into is Nate Pearson. Talk to us about Pearson, because he's a guy that we know they think highly of. Again, this is where it gets tricky with the window for, you know, him maybe being called up. Toronto doesn't have like a scary rotation. Well, I guess it could be perceived as scary in one way, but do you think that the future is now for Pearson?
I did before they signed Ryu. I thought that he had a legitimate chance to make the rotation out of spring training. Of course, this was many months ago, and everything has changed in baseball since then. But it's one of the, you know, you mentioned their scare, you know, not scary rotation. Right now it goes Ryu, and then their number two is Chase Anderson, followed by Tanner Roark, Matt Shoemaker, and Trent Thornton. That is not a premium, you know, going to keep one of the best pitching prospects in baseball at bay for long. And in this short season, I don't know, like, that Pearson's problem is that really his biggest problem is the amount of innings that he has gotten past couple years. Like last year was the first year that he pitched the entire year and got a full starter's workload. He had some kind of non-throwing arm freaky injuries. He'd got broken his ulna with a comebacker, had an intercostal strain, and he missed a good chunk of a season for. Really, that's the big thing on Nate. Blue Jays might just say, we know the talent, but in this crazy season that we weren't going to keep Pete in anyway, maybe we give him another full years in the minors. But he might not, he may be so overpowering that he might force his hand. Guy regularly pitches in the high 90s, touch 102, has one of the hardest sliders in baseball, or is going to be, you know, it's regularly thrown in the low to mid 90s. and he's got a curveball and a changeup. He throws really well too. He is has elite stuff and dominated the minors last year. And I guess it'll, like I said, with in this season with teams that aren't going for it, that's when things can get really tricky because the Blue Jays know they're not winning a championship unless they, you know, unless they decide that we're going to have an 80 game season and why not? Let's go for it and be crazy. But they know their window, their realistic window is 2021 and beyond. Like you're not going to win a World Series no matter how long the season with Tanner Roark as your number three and Chase Anderson as your two. So I like with Howard, the Phillies are in a position to win this year. If Howard is the best belongs in their starting five, I think he's going to be. Pearson could belong in the Blue Jays starting five and they could just say, there's no real point. You just dominate AAA all year.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously you want him, you know, getting those starts and, you know, getting not getting tagged in the majors, you know, to kill your confidence when it's not going to help you any. But I'll tell you what, the fact that it's a shortened season makes me interested, depending on how things go. Okay, for example, talk about the rotation. Like, I don't hate Trent Thornton. I think, you know, he had some disastrous starts last year, but he also had some moments. Right? I think he'll be okay. He can hang on. Shoemaker and, you know, Rourke will be okay, but like Shoemaker and...
I kind of like Shoemaker. I'm excited to be back.
And like Anderson, I think there's a good chance one of those two gets bounced from the rotation at some point. But I, you know, everyone's all about the White Sox this year, right? All that influx of talent. Yes, they have a great time. I'm really loving the Blue Jays way too much. I love that lineup from top to bottom. Talked about I love Rowdy winning the first base job and hitting 30 bombs. You know, Lourdes Gurriel's underrated. He's got a lot of talent. He came on late last year. Obviously, Vlad. Mm-hmm. I think Vlad's going to be a top 20 player. I've said all this in my predictions. I think that their offense might be good enough. I think in a crazy short season like this, the Blue Jays might be that surprise upstart team that kind of makes a run, right? The Red Sox are weak this year. The Yankees, everybody's hurt. I'm just saying that division might be up for grabs. And, you know, they pound on the Orioles 20 times, and there you go. They're in the mix for a playoff spot, and then they say, hey, let's get Pearson in there. So for that reason, I think he might be a smart stash and doesn't cost you anything. I mean, what is his ADP right now? I'm guessing it's
it's outside the
333.
I think it's outside the top. Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, cost is nothing. Like I said, with this shortened season, it might behoove them to go for it. I really like their lineup too. Like, you know, obviously all the young stars you mentioned, but I'm a secret Randall Grichuk fan. You know, he used to be on the Cardinals, and I also really like Teoscar Hernandez.
I love and, me some you know, Teoscar.
Both of those guys, I covered them a lot working news desk at Rotobar last year because I had the Blue Jays. And those guys, they go ice cold for sure, but they can go red hot for a week and just hit bomb after bomb. And they're going to have a lot of guys in front of them with, you know, Vlad and Bichette and Biggio. And I'm a big Gurriel fan. I wouldn't be that surprised if I think their offense is good enough. I think that I don't know if Pearson is enough to fix all their pitching woes. And I don't know if they necessarily want to make a trade to get, you know, even if they have Ryu and they have Pearson comes up and he's really good, you know, they still need somebody else if they really want to make a run. And I don't think it's coming out of, you know, the Anderson, Shoemaker, Orton group. And definitely not Anderson. He's going to give up so many home runs.
Right. But I have a feeling, like I said, this year's Blue Jays, it might be kind of like last year's Twins, where they have like an okay rotation of like journeymen, you know, that nobody who's dominating, like, you know, Berrios is your kind of your rock, but then the rest of it's like, and then they just outslug everybody, right? Just hit so many home runs. Like you said, across the lineup, I mean, even like Biggio, a guy who could hit 20 plus home runs at second base, you know, obviously Vlad. And
that lineup's like good.
Grich, I mean, they could have, you know, 5-6 guys who hit 30 home runs. You just never know. Or they could not. Definitely. But moving on, let's talk about a guy who I think could be a starter from day one. And if I'm not mistaken, you said Austin Hayes is tentatively penciled in online. to be the leadoff guy for Baltimore. I mean, that gives him instant value, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, leadoff, you know, even for Baltimore, a leadoff batter is valuable, and Hayes is a nice player. And like, you know, you mentioned, you know, the old internet, you know, 5 days ago, a reporter from Masson said that Baltimore has Hayes as their starting leadoff. Who knows if that'll be true by the time the season actually rolls around. But there's, with prospects like this on really bad teams, if they make the team, like, they're going to play, and they're going to play every day. And sometimes in fantasy, it's about piling up plate appearances with guys that you picked in the last couple rounds of your draft. And I think Hayes is a really nice flyer at the end of drafts.
Yeah, and, you know, so talk about the Orioles, obviously prospects that they've got them because they don't have much else in the way of veterans. I mean, look at a guy like, you know, Renato Nunez last year, popped up some pretty good stats. Now, Hayes doesn't have that kind of power, right? And he's not going to steal you bases. So that's the thing. The upside is kind of capped here. But this isn't a guy who, you know, like, take a guy like Sam Hilliard. Like, people think, well, he could go crazy, right? Big power bat in Colorado. Or he could not. So that to me is a little more risk reward. Hayes is a guy who, like you said, could put up some counting stats and be that kind of steady, solid contributor later on. So I guess to me, it kind of depends on what you're